God bless you all. It's good to be home. Let's open the sermon up here. Of God, we had successful meetings in Geneva, Switzerland, and we spoke several times at Brother Bernard Laborier's church in Geneva, and then we traveled across France, about a 12-hour drive, took us a couple days, and we had five services over in Nantes, France. Actually spelled N-A-N-T-E-S, but it's pronounced Nant instead of, I would say Nantes or Nantes or whatever, but that's just the way it's spelled. So let's stand to our feet, continue, and open our Bibles to Hebrews 4. And we're going to read from verse 12 for our text. All right. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrows, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight. Now keep that in mind, because that's important. But all things are naked and open to the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear gracious Father, we humbly and reverently approach thee this morning, knowing, O God, that there's coming a showdown one of these days. And that showdown is whether we have your spirit living in us, and that we are conformed to the image of your firstborn son, and that we are manifesting or applying the token or manifesting as sons of God, or we're not. And Father, we just ask you to help us, O God, to get ready for that hour. May we recognize what has taken place already in this hour. May we understand, Father, that you yourself, who are the Word of God, you are the Word, and you are a discerner of the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And with that in mind, Father, we have seen it on display through your prophet, and realize that's a sign of your presence. That's a sign of Messiah. Help us, Lord, then, to understand these things as we approach with reverence Brother Branham's sermon that we've been studying, Lord, on desperation. In Jesus' name we commit this service. Amen. You may be seated. The scripture we just read deals with the sign of God called the sign of Messiah. Or sometimes Brother Branham called it the Messiah sign. Or sometimes he called it the Messianic sign. It really does not matter what the term is, but the term he used the most is the sign of Messiah. In his sermon, It Is I, Be Not Afraid, Brother Branham speaks of the sign of Messiah as not just for anybody. And he makes this clear as he says, now, when he showed his Messiah sign, that was for some. Now, Brother Branham had been talking about John 14:12. He said there's many aspects of John 14:12. He said Jesus was a teacher, so there'll be some that do teaching. He was a pastor, so some were pastor. He was an evangelist, some would do evangelistic. Because he said he had it without measure, we have it by measure. But then he said, but the sign of Messiah is not for everybody. He said, when he showed his sign of Messiah, that was for some. Now, notice, the showing of it was done only by some. In other words, Jesus, William Branham. We see actually in that same discernment, we see back in the days of Samuel the prophet. But it wasn't for everybody. It was only for some. And those are the some that believed it. Now we know the sign of Messiah is not for everyone. It is not even for every prophet. Not every prophet had the sign of Messiah. But the sign of Messiah is to vindicate the actual presence of the Word of God. That's God Himself. That He is on the scene in the ministry that the sign of Messiah is being demonstrated through. Therefore, this morning I would like, as we continue in our study of desperation, that we will read quite a few paragraphs which demonstrate the sign of Messiah before we actually begin to dive into the study of the sign of Messiah. Therefore, let's begin reading in paragraph 106, where Brother Branham says, "Now, as soon as I started that, I see visions appearing, amen, great visions of the Lord, speaking great things, amen. If I start that, we'd be here all night. Going to believe it? You believe? Amen. I believe with all my heart. Now, the little lady sitting out there from Brother Palmer, she's a stranger to me. She is from Georgia, and she's suffering from a female trouble. And if she believes that God will make her way, or make her well, He will do it. I never seen the woman in my life, but that's what's the matter with her. That little woman, I don't know whether she ever heard the message before or not, but while I was preaching here, I saw her. You just believe it and see if that's right. Amen. If you only believe that's right." So as Brother Branham is honing down in the sermon on desperation, he breaks into that Messiah sign, or that sign of Messiah. He just calls out a woman from Georgia. He reads the thoughts and intents of the heart. Now, many tried to impersonate this. We know that there was a guy named Pastor Paul or Pastor Pete or something like that back in the 80s who actually used a little earpiece, and then his wife she would meet people at the door and greet them and stuff like that and ask what their conditions were, and she'd get their name and their address, and then she would speak it to him as he called them out. She'd say, like, the person in the 10th row and the 4th in, call them out, their name is Jasmine, and say, and so they call the name, and he tried to act like he was Brother Branham. Well, using technology, you can fake it, but that's not the sign of Messiah. Others would use, I went to a Morris Sorello meeting back in the 70s, early 70s, or mid 70s, and in Minneapolis. And Morris Sorello, there's 4,000 some odd people in the congregation at the time. And Morris Sorello says, "The Lord's showing me that there's someone in here who has a hernia." Well, the statistics are that there should have been 81 people in there with hernias. 28 people stood to their feet. All right. So only 1/4 of the statistics admitted they had a hernia. And maybe others didn't know they had, but they had trouble screwing. But the thing of it is that these men would use numbers, statistics, and things like that. Like the boy over there from Georgia that went over to England. We all saw the tape in about the 80s. And he said, "The Lord's showing me in here that there's someone, there's a parent in here who has a disobedient teenage son." I mean, we agree. What parent doesn't have a disobedient teenage son at some point or other? So, you know, just it's a mockery. It's an impersonation, but it's a really, really bad impersonation. But what we saw in our day was God Himself. God Himself stand before groups of men and use the body of a prophet, a vessel, just a vessel. Now, the man himself was not Messiah. He's just a vessel that God used. He continues, "A lady sitting right back here with back trouble, suffering real bad. Her name's Mrs. Wilson. If you believe with all your heart, Jesus Christ will make you well. I never seen the woman in my life, but she's sitting there suffering. She's wearing a yellow dress. Is that right? All right. Are we strangers to one another? Yes. All right. All right. All right, sir, you can go home and be well. Jesus Christ makes you well. Amen." Another woman that's just caught that, back trouble, sitting over here. She's got back trouble. She's got a boy, and he's got head trouble. That's right. Mrs. Parker is her name. "If you believe with all your heart, and Jesus Christ will heal you both." Amen. We're strangers to one another? That's exactly right. Amen. "Believe with all your heart." Now here's an elderly man sitting back here there from Michigan. He's having trouble in his ears. Oh, he thinks in voices in spiritual trouble. Is that right? You're believing that you don't know whether it's God or what it is talking to you? You hear noises in your ears. I'm a total stranger to you. If that's right, raise up your hands, and that's what's taking place. It'll never bother you no more. Jesus Christ heals you. You believe the great physician? I speak to you, but Norway, but you don't understand Norwegian language, all right? You understand Norwegian language, all right? Tell him to go home believing, sister, if you know how to speak to it. Tell him his head trouble will leave him. Now, you know that I don't know him. He's come here from Norway to be prayed for. Go back a well man. Oh, Jesus Christ is saying yesterday, today, and forever. What is it? It's that pillar of fire, the Holy Ghost. It's that token that Jesus Christ lives. And when people long ago saw him doing those things, he perceived their thoughts because he is the Word. And the Word is sharper than a two-edged sword and a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Amen. I've seen water flashing in this young lad coming. He heard, read a book over there and wrote in Norwegian. He got to understanding and somebody spoke to him. He's having trouble. But if he will believe with all of his heart, the Lord Jesus is going to make him well. Come a long way. He's a poor kid at that, trying to press in. And he will and we will lay hands on him in a minute. Do you believe? Congregation, amen. How wonderful, oh my. The great physician now is here. Sister, where's that Sister Ungren and that other sister at the piano? I want you to come right quickly, if you will, and give us a song. That great physician now is near, the sympathizing Jesus. I want the people that's on this aisle here that wants to be prayed for, kind of come down on this here, just one aisle at a time. Brother Neville, you do that, if you will. Where's Brother Caps or some of the song leaders? How about Brother Unwin or Brother Caps or somebody come here? We'll sing. Lead your song for us, if you will. Where is one of those brothers at? All right, sir. That's good. All right, everybody in prayer. So they're getting ready to close in prayer. Because remember, desperation. See what desperation will do? Desperation will drive you across the sea. Desperation will drive you from another state. Desperation will drive you anywhere. Some precious little father and his daughter with desperation tried to get in, come in, everything else, and sit down anyhow. A few moments ago, the Holy Spirit delivered the thing here in the meeting just before I got here. Oh, the sweetest carol ever sung, Jesus, blessed Jesus. Great physician now is near, the sympathizing Jesus. Lord Jesus, grant here the prayer of your servant, Lord. I pray that you'll hear the voice of Jesus, sweetest note in seraph song, sweetest name on mortal tongue, oh, sweetest carol ever sung. Let those who are desperate now, that really knows that you're going to be healed, just sing. As far as I know, 100% were from last Sunday night, got well this week. They're sympathizing. Now watch, and this is where I want to get to. Now watch, he comes, see, he's already healed you. He did on Calvary. He brings his word. He confirms it, and he shows his presence. Nobody can do those things outside of God. You know that. It's a sign of Messiah, and you know that I'm no Messiah. So it's him. Now here, he's proved everything to you. Now it ought to throw you into desperation. It ought to electrify this place and touch till it'd be like a match to a barrel of powder. Certainly. And it ought to explode the faith and love and desperation, drive them people right into the kingdom of God to believe with all their heart. Do you believe now, every one of you? All right, now. And Billy, and you ought to get. Now, what he's saying is, look, when you actually see God descending and use a vessel of a man and do things which only God can do, it ought to just set you on fire. But we sit as a church, not just talking about this, I'm talking about the world. And like the scripture says, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. What is it in us where we can be partakers of the shout, which the whole New Testament saints look forward to that day? And we kind of sit in a stupor. And we wonder. In understanding John 14, Some have confused Hebrews 4:12, which is the sign of Messiah, with John 14:12, which is the works or labor of Christ. And they assign John 14:12, which is works, to Hebrews 4:12, which is a sign. It is the sign of Messiah, the sign of His presence. Now, Mark 16 is not the sign of His presence, and neither is John 14:12 the sign of His presence. It is the very life and nature of being a born-again believer. And there's a difference between the very literal presence of God and having the God life in you. Now, although the sign of Messiah may be in part, be a part of the works as Jesus Himself did them, yet John 14:12 speaks of the nature of the Spirit expressing Itself in the vessel in its actions and its deeds. While Hebrews 4:12 speaks specifically of the Word, God Himself being a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart, which Brother Branham specifically calls the sign of Messiah. Now, the sign of Messiah is not the works of Jesus that every Christian who is filled with the Holy Spirit will do. This is specific to only certain people which are prophets of God, and not every prophet has this sign of Messiah. John 14:12 is for everyone who is filled with the Spirit of God, because it's the nature of God in display. But Hebrews 4:12 is for that word prophet who comes in the Son of Man ministry. So what is the sign of Messiah, or the messianic sign? Well, Brother Branham uses the term sign of Messiah, messianic sign, or messiahic sign. All in all, he mentions these terms 74 times. That's all. Out of 1,200 sermons, 74 times he uses those three terms. In all the various sermons where he mentions these terms, he is very clear on what it is. And most all of them, he brings us to John 4, which speaks of the woman at the well. Or he brings us to when Jesus saw Nathanael under the fig tree praying. Or he'll bring us to God Himself speaking to Abraham in Genesis 18. However, some ministers confuse the sign of Messiah, or the sign of Messiah, with John 14:12. But what did a vindicated prophet of God say the sign of Messiah was? He said it was knowing the very thoughts and intents of the heart, which is Hebrews 4:12. Now, I could lay out the 74 quotes, but I think you've got search engines. You can do the same. Just type in sign of Messiah, type in, you just copy and paste them all into the sheet, and you find every single time he either refers to one of these three. Either God discerning Sarah's heart when he said, why did she laugh? She says, I didn't laugh. He said, yes, you did. Or Nathanael when he was praying under the fig tree, or the woman at the well. Now, from his sermon, show us the Father, Brother Ram said, how many knows that he perceived their thoughts and knowed all about them? That's right. Now, that was the sign of Messiah. So he's very specific here in this quote, that the sign of Messiah is knowing the thoughts and the intents of the heart. So we should say that only what's on the tapes. Not to try to say, well, you know, we believe that sign of Messiah is John 14:12. It's not. Now, it may be a part of it, a subset of John 14:12, which is very inclusive. But that's for all believers. But this is only for a Son of Man ministry. Notice he specifically tells us that knowing the thoughts and intents of the heart is a sign of Messiah, which is Hebrews 4:12, and not John 14:12, as some would teach. Then from his sermon, convinced and concerned, Brother Brown said, how do they know that that was a Messiah? Now that's the question. How did they know that that was Messiah? How did the woman at the well know that that was Messiah when he told her that she had five husbands? How did Nathanael say, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God? Because he said, I saw you when you were under the tree. See, that's how they know it. That's what it is, the sign of Messiah. That is true. Just ask anybody, look through the Bible, that is what it is, the sign of Messiah. Again, another quote with Brother Brown is very, very specific. He's not saying it's healing. He's not saying it's laying hands on the sick. He's not saying it's miracles. He's saying it's one specific thing, knowing the thoughts and intents of the heart. So it is very evident that the sign of Messiah is demonstrated by Jesus Christ Himself to Nathanael and to the woman at the well. Again, God's vindicated prophet tells us the sign of Messiah is a discerning of the thoughts and intents of the heart. He called it one time the messianic sign. 10 times he called it the one time he called it the messiah sign. 10 times he calls it the messianic sign. But 63 times he calls it the sign of Messiah. Now, if you check all of these 74 quotes, you'll find he mentions a woman at the well, Nathaniel under the tree praying, or even Elohim standing, talking to Abraham concerning what Sarah was thinking back in the tent. And in all 74 quotes, Brother Brown focus is on the discerning of the thoughts and intents of the heart. He does not talk about the works of John 14:12, for whosoever believes. So the sign of Messiah is very specific to Christ the Word, revealing his presence among men. Again, we see in Brother Brown's sermon, the unchangeable God. He says, now Jesus, when he grew up, he proved that he was Messiah that they prayed for. He showed them his sign of Messiah. He proved that he was Messiah by the signs that he'd done. Look at the woman at the well when he told her her sins, that she had five husbands. Now, I'm going to stop here for just a minute because some people might take this quote, like they do many quotes, and read only part of the quote, not the rest of the quote. That's what they do. Like they say, well, you know, like the oneness, they say, well, Philip said, you know, show us the Father and it'll satisfy us. And Jesus said, I've been so long with you, Philip, and you don't know me. When you see me, you see the Father. And they stop right there. But they don't take the very next verse where Jesus said, for my Father is in me, and he doeth the works. So this is the way that people, it doesn't matter what denomination they are, it doesn't matter what denomination in the message they are, because this message has many denominations in it. Now, the message itself cannot denominate. Just like the Word of God really can't denominate. But you can form denominations around your little ism. And that's what they do. Like when I was over there, one of the ministers, he tried to say that William Branham was not the prophet of Malachi 4. And so I went through and showed him he was the prophet of Malachi 4. Just because you don't believe it doesn't make it so. You see? And of course, they're getting that from the believe the sign or don't believe the sign people. All right. So, Brother Matt said, he showed them his sign of Messiah. He proved that he was Messiah by the signs that he done. Now, you've got to say what signs, and he says, look at the woman at the well when he told her her sins that she had five husbands. So, he goes right to the signs that he did, and that was the sign of Messiah. Not other signs. That's a sign. Why? She said, sir, we know when Messiah cometh, he will tell us all things. Now, it's not the fact that he come with miracles. It's the fact that he told them all things. But she didn't know who he was. He said, I'm he. Look at Nathanael when he come back with Philip, and he walked up in the presence of Jesus Christ. And Jesus told him who he was, where he come from, and what he'd been doing. Oh my. And they proved. He said, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God. Thou art the King of Israel. My, sure. Because what? He's proven. Now, as I said, many of the Pentecostals never understood this. And that's why Brother Branham said it's not for them. It's just for some. They looked at what Brother Branham had as what is known in the Pentecostal world as discerning of spirits or a word of knowledge. It's far beyond discerning of spirits. It's far beyond a word of knowledge. It is the Word of God, which is it's the presence of the Word of God, which is a discerner of the thoughts and intentions of the heart. In other words, it was the presence of the judge. And Jesus said, my word will judge in the last day, John 12:48-49. Now, these are not examples of John 14:12. These are examples of Hebrews 4:12, which says the word of God is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. That is a sign, not a work. The works that I do are actual works. The Greek word is ergon, and it simply means labor. But Hebrews 4:12 is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart, which is the word itself, which is a sign of God on the scene. Now, the sign of Messiah is not the same as 1 Corinthians 12, which speaks of the gift of discerning of spirits. Any Christian may have the gift to discern between a godly spirit and an evil spirit. And this is not Malachi 3:16, discerning between the righteous and the wicked. Any Christian filled with the Spirit of God should be able to discern between who is righteous and who is wicked, who is rightly wise and who is not rightly wise. But only God Himself, the Anointer, the Christ, the Messiah, is able to discern the heart or the thoughts and intentions of the heart. That's why when we see people saying, "Oh, you know, I know that, you know, I know what you're thinking," or "I know," listen, you're lying. You're just lying. Well, I know your motive. No, you don't know. And it's time that we, as the children of God, back off from this high-mindedness and stay humble, and quit trying to place ourselves in the place of God, the prophet. God does not, from Brother Ram's sermon, does God change His mind? He said, now, she wasn't like them priests. They said, well, he's got a devil. He's a fortune teller or something. No, she turned and she said, sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Now, we haven't had one for 400 years. The church hasn't been used to such as this. But I perceive that you're a prophet. Now, I know that we're looking for the Messiah. And when the Messiah comes, that's the thing that he'll do. What thing? He had just told her that she had five husbands, and the one she was now living with wasn't really a husband. Now, the Bible said he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And if that was the anointed sign of Messiah back there to the Samaritan and to the Jew, now, it never was done before Gentiles. Nowhere in the Bible did Jesus ever do it before Gentiles. They had 4,000 years of looking for a Messiah. We've had 2,000 years with their training also to look for a Messiah. Now, if that was identification just before this day was finished, it's got to be our identification, because He promised the Son of Man would reveal Himself again in the day that the world became like Sodom again, and anybody knows we're there. Notice that Brother Branham is identifying the sign of Messiah with the ministry of the Son of Man. Notice again in his sermon, when their eyes were opened, he said, now, this lady here is a stranger to me. I'm going to talk to her. Here comes back to John 4, to St. John 4, where, not 14, St. John 4, where Jesus talked to the woman and told her what her trouble was. And she believed that that was a sign of the Messiah. If that was a sign of Messiah then, it's still the sign of Messiah, because He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. There's no talk here of John 14, 12 as being the sign of Messiah. Now, you have John 14, 12 in your life. That's a sign that you're a Christian, that you have the Spirit of God. But it doesn't, and not in any way, make you a prophet or make you one that has the sign of Messiah. From His sermon, sir, we would see Jesus. Brother Branham said, now watch that little woman. You know, she could teach 90% of the clergy today the gospel. I think she could, yeah, he says, she could teach 90% of the clergy today the gospel. Well, what about back then? 99.9%. I think there's only one priest that actually caught it. Out of all the priests of his day, everybody else, he's got a devil. He's doing these things because he has a devil. Well, that's blasphemy. See, why did those priests stand there and call him Beelzebub? See, that's a devil. When their very Bible said that that's what he would do. Is that right? And here stands a prostitute, a woman of ill fame. And as, look at, oh,
Lord Jesus, help all of us.
Here stands a prostitute, a woman of ill fame. And she caught it. And we sit here and say, well, I've never been like that. Lord Jesus, I look at me. I've lived my whole life. I'm just so wonderful. A prostitute caught it. And like Brother Brand said, people got their nose up in the air. He said, if it rained, you'd drown. It's time, brother, sister, that you start walking humbly. And quit labeling a person because maybe they were in jail at one time. I've been dealing with a brother in Colorado, 57 years old, a good brother. He made a mistake. Someone died. He's been in jail for, I think, since he's 18 or something like that. Long time. But he loves this message. I copy every sermon, I send it to him. He can't hear, he can only read. So he's got the quotes, he's got the scriptures.
And he loves this message. And I'm afraid some people would say, well, he's a jailbird, I don't want him. Don't let him come here. We don't want people like that. And I'm going to tell you something. A person like that is probably closer to God than you are. It's time you get off your high horses. It's time you realize that everybody's human. People make mistakes. All of us do. There's only one that never made the mistake, and that's Jesus himself. We know that when Messiah cometh, which is called the Christ, we're looking for him to come, and when he comes, he's going to tell us these things. This is what he's going to do. That was a sign of Messiah yesterday. That's a sign of Messiah today. The same, see? Now, I've met people from all over the world. Been in prison. Come out. This message got a hold of them. It transformed their life. You might have been raised up in this message. Has it transformed your life? Do you hunger and thirst for righteousness? Or do you look down upon your brother or your sister? So Brother Branham is identifying the sign of Messiah by showing us the woman at the well, who seemed to have a better understanding of the scripture than 99.9% of the priests of her day. And most of them in our day as well. Do we realize what took place in this hour? Or are we just church people? From it as I be not afraid, Brother Branham said. Now Matthew said, yes, I remember. He's the one that wrote it, you know. Oh yes, I remember it. My heart failed. I thought, there's our master. One time wrong, see? Because he told her that she had a husband. Go get your husband. And she said, I don't have a husband. And how many people have heard on tape where Brother Branham tells somebody something and they say, no, that's not right. And then it is right. Like Brother Collins. He was one of the first meetings he went to in 1955, I think it was, or 1950, something like that. Down in Kentucky. And Brother Branham called out a sister. He said, you live at such and such an address. And two sisters in the back said, he's wrong there. She's right down the street from me. After the service, Brother Collins went over those women. He said, you said that she lives in your neighborhood. And she doesn't live at the address Brother Branham said. They said, yeah. So we went over and talked to the woman. He said, Brother Brown said that you lived at such address. She said, yeah, I did. I moved 3 days ago. So people will take a... Let me just say this. Your souls are hanging by a thread. And that thread is the Word of God. And either you take it all, every bit of it, even the bit that says, thou shalt not gossip, or thou shalt not falsely accuse. Remember the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not falsely accuse. And you say, well, they did this, and they did this, so they must do this. No, you're making an assumption. You're not a prophet. He's reading from the point of Matthew. He's talking from the point of Matthew. Matthew saw the woman, saw the conversation. He said, go tell thy husband. She said, I don't have one. He said, that's right. You said right, because she got five. And the one you're living with now is six. She said, I have no husband. And then he turns around and said, you told the truth. Then we were all puzzled. Here he says, go get your husband. And she said, I have no husband. He said, that's right. Look, go get your husband. I have no husband. You're right. Now, we were all astonished and our hearts beat. And we raised up over the bushes behind him to see what he was going to say next. So He was wrong. She said, I had no husband, and yet we believed him to be the Messiah. And how many people have stopped right there and didn't read the next sentence? I had done it in the book of Matthew. Well, the woman said he's wrong, so stop right there. Don't read on. Or when Jesus says, why do you look for the Father? When you see me, you see him. I and the Father are one. And they stop right there and they don't read on. And they stay in their oneness filth. And how many of you do that? When you look at a person's life, they went to prison one time. That's, you're not for me. They'll never be whole in my eyes. But through the blood of Jesus Christ, they're just as pure as Jesus himself. Can't you look through the blood of Jesus Christ for once? How could that great Messiah sign be wrong? And we know he was Messiah because he did the sign of Messiah. Therefore, the Messiah is God, the Anointed. And the Anointed is the Word. And the Word was manifested. See, we know that he was Messiah, and there he was. Every time it hit, but this time, but now it had missed. For he said to the young woman, "Go get your husband," and she said, "I don't have one." Now listen, if they would have just been passing by, stopped right there, and said, "Oh, I guess the guy missed. Nothing to him. Just go on." You see, that's why signing Messiah wasn't for everyone. He said it was for some. Go get your husband. She said, I have none. He said, thou hast said the truth. You said, well, for you had five, and the one that you're now living with is not yours. Oh. And we noticed what that woman said. She turned with startled eyes, and she said, sir, I perceive that you're a prophet. Now, that really, in the King James, is mistranslated. It's all right. It's okay like that. But if you take your marginal reading on that and run it back to the original Greek, and many scholars here read it, said, thou art that prophet. Not, I perceive you're a prophet. Because not all the prophets had this sign. But I perceive that you are that prophet. What prophet? The one Moses said, the Lord thy God shall raise up unto thee a prophet like unto me. See, that's the margin reading. Thou art that prophet. I perceive that thou art that prophet. Now we know that when Messiah cometh, he is called Christ. That prophet, Messiah, Christ. All the same person. When it comes, he will tell us all these things. And Jesus said, I'm he that speaks with you. And that woman ran into the city and began to tell all the men, come see a man that told me the things that I've done. Now watch. Told me the things that I've done. Isn't that the very Messiah? And you know, we all went into the city to find out what happened. And all the men in that city believed the woman's testimony. Oh, it was a great time. He's talking to a brother in Geneva. He's from Lausanne. He attended Brother Branham's meetings in when he was 22 years old. That was in the 1950s. The man's in his 80s. He also attended the meetings in Zurich. And so Brother Branham came there. I know that sign of Messiah in operation. And you know when Brother Branham got in his car to drive away, many other denominational people took out tomatoes and threw them at his car. People saw the sign of Messiah and they called it witchcraft. And they threw tomatoes at the vessel God used to show his presence. And yet very religious. And we've got them right in this message. Very religious. Like the Pharisee. Lord, I'm glad I'm not like that man over there. And that man beat his chest and said, Father, forgive me. And Jesus said, who went away justified? The one that was so high and proud? Or the one who sought God's forgiveness? Again, from the sermon, we would see Jesus, Brother Branham said. Now, notice, now, I got to nail this down because I got to quit. Another thing is, kind Christian brother told me that when Brother Branham was there in Zurich, after the service was over, Brother Branham went to his knees and just wept. For over 30 minutes, he knelt there weeping. The brother had an opportunity to meet Brother Billy Paul many years later. He said, Brother Billy, I was there when your father was on his knees weeping. And Billy Paul said, I remember that. He said he was weeping because the people weren't catching it. Just religious, Christian, so-called. Well, my Bible tells me they were called Christian because they were Christ-like. And Christ could take a woman who had just been caught in the act of adultery just minutes before and say, your sins are forgiven. And how many of you in here can do that? To him that is given mercy, God expects mercy. If we are to be conformed to the image of the firstborn son, he is the God of all comfort and he's the God of mercy. Are you? Do you have enough mercy in your heart? It's time that we focus on our own selves and not others. It's time we treat everyone the same, whether they're sinner or saint. It's a time that we love. And love covers a multitude of sin. From We Would See Jesus, Brother Branham said, now notice, now I got to nail this down because I got to quit. Look, the difference between the woman in that shape that she was in, to those high-cultured ministers, high-cultured, so-called holy people. That woman said, sir, I perceive that you're a prophet. And the priest and the educator said, you are Beelzebub, a devil, a fortune teller. And this woman said, sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. We know when Messiah cometh, he'll tell us these things. If that was a sign of Messiah yesterday, and he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, it's got to be the same. She said, we know Messiah, which is called the Christ, the Anointed One. When he comes, he'll tell us these things, but who are you? And he said, I am he that speaketh to you. That was enough. She taught, she saw it, and she went to everybody in her little village. And she said, come see a man that told me all the sin that I've been doing. Doesn't our Bible tell us that Messiah will do that when he comes? And from his servant, Perseverance, Brother Branham said, well, if that was the sign of Messiah to the Jews, to the Samaritans, would it be the sign of Messiah to the Gentiles? Wouldn't the Messiah then, if he's raised from the dead and living in his church, manifest himself through, wouldn't he do the same works when he promised that he would do it? Now, me standing here talking to you, see, same words, that's another word. Me here standing talking to you, I don't know you, never seen you in my life, see. But if the Lord God will tell me something that you're here for, you know whether it's true or not. See, telling me something that you've done, something that you ought not to have done, and if he can tell you what you have done in the past, surely he'd know what the future was. Is that right? If he could tell you that, sure. And if he'll tell me what you're here for, wouldn't you believe him to be the Son of God? You believe it? How many in the audience will believe that? Now, some mistake this to mean that the sign of Messiah is the works of John 14:12 because they hear Brother Branham refer to him as being the same yesterday, today, and forever, which is Hebrews 13:8. But because he uses the word the same works that he did then, he will do the same now. And because he uses the word same works, they immediately associate that with John 14 and 12. The sign of Messiah is just one of many signs that Jesus did. But this one sign was not promised to just any believer, but only to the Son of Man who would come to restore the word. It is a sign, the sign of Messiah, and it is Hebrews 4 and 12. And we find many times they came searching for a sign, and Jesus said there's only one sign. Only one sign. That's important. And that's the sign of Jonah. And you go, oh, that's a sign of a resurrection. Yeah.
That the resurrected one is here.
Not the resurrection itself, but the resurrected one
is on the scene.
John 14, 12 concerns those who are born again, filled with the Spirit, and thus have the very same nature that was in Christ in them. And if the very same nature is in them that was in Christ, then it will produce the very same actions and life that Christ did in the believer. It is about fulfilling Genesis 1:11, every seed must bring forth after its kind. So we're looking at the sign of Messiah, and I want you to notice that what Brother Branham is saying. Again, we're going to go back to paragraph 1:11, which we began with this morning. He said, watch, he comes. See, he comes. He's already here. He's already healed you. He brings his word, he confirms it, and he shows his presence. Nobody can do those things outside of God. You know that. It's the sign of the Messiah, and you know I'm no Messiah. So it's him. Now here he's proved everything to you. Now it ought to throw you into desperation. It ought to electrify this place and touch till it'd be like a match to a barrel of powder, certainly. And it ought to explode the faith and love and desperation to drive the people right into the kingdom of God to believe with all their heart. Do you believe now? Every one of you, all right now? Billy, you ought to get this. So. Now listen. Notice the words Brother Bram says here. Why should it electrify the church? Because the sign of Messiah is a proof of God's presence. The one who spoke the world into existence, the one who made the Milky Way, the one who made all those great planets that make the earth look like a little golf ball, the one who created your body in such an intricate way that if just left to itself, it'll heal itself. We try man's way, we throw all kinds of medications in our bodies and everything else, and it does nothing but pollute our bodies. Yeah, it pollutes all those chemicals that you put in your body, it pollutes them. Because God, only God can do that sign. In Genesis 18, it is the last sign God gave to Abraham before he and Sarah would receive their body changed back to youth again. And that had to happen before they could receive the promised son. It is the last sign to the Gentiles before we receive our body change and before we go to meet the promised Son. And that ought to tell us, we ought to get right. We ought to give God our every breath that we've got. We ought to give God our time. We ought to give God our love. And John said, how can you say you love God when you don't even love your brother? And wives, how can you love God when you don't even love your husbands? Husbands, how can you say you love God when you don't even love your wife? We've seen our last sign. God is waiting for a bride to be dressed in his word. He's waiting for a bride to die to themselves. And I can say this. Most people, maybe 99.99999999999% of people in this message have not died to themselves. So that's the question, have you? Have you totally died to yourself? To where someone can come up and smack you on the cheek and you say, God bless you, here's the other one. To where someone could pull a deal on you and take your jacket and you say, well, I've got two here, take it. Or you still got yourself involved to where you want to seek revenge. Got to get back at that person. Got to say what I can to tear down that person. If you don't have something good to say, shut it up. I'm speaking a little bit hard, but I come back from some wonderful, wonderful meetings. And I realize there's a lot of people still picking. In Matthew 12:38, we read that certain of the scribes and of the Pharisees answered, saying, "Master, we would see a sign from thee." And again, Matthew 16:1, the Pharisees also with the Sadducees came and tempting desired him that he would show them a sign from heaven. Wasn't the sign that he already given good enough? What are we waiting for? What are we looking for? God has come down in this hour. He's shaking up everything that can be shaken, and he's going to shake up the world out. We see it in the four Gospels. We've seen it in Matthew. They come looking for signs. Again, we see in the book of Mark the saints searching for a sign of Messiah, and they didn't even know what the sign of Messiah was and what to be looking for. They thought feeding manna from heaven, that was a sign of Messiah. It wasn't a sign of Messiah. Moses wasn't Messiah, and God used Moses, and God fed the people with manna from heaven. In Mark 8:11, and I'll tell you what, Brother Bill told me of some people that he knew that were missionaries in China, and they literally prayed food on the table. That's not a sign that you're Messiah. And that's not a sign of Messiah. Those are miracles. Mark 8:11, the Pharisees came forth and began to question him with him, seeking of him a sign from heaven, tempting him. See, trying to put him to the test. And he sighed deeply in his spirit and saith, "Why doth this generation seek after a sign? Verily I say unto you, there shall no sign be given unto this generation." No sign? Yeah, the Greek says this, genia. In other words, your gene seed will be given no sign because the sign of Messiah is for believers and not for you. That's what he's saying here. And left them, and entering into the ship again, he departed to the other side. Show us a sign. He said, "I already done it." People looking for Hillary Clinton to win the presidential nomination to vindicate for them that Brother Branham was a prophet. He's already vindicated. I don't care if she gets it or she doesn't get it. In fact, I think God may not have her get it just to get rid of a whole bunch of people who claim to believe the message. Because he said it could also be the Catholic Church, and if so, it's already been done. They say, "Well, Billy Paul's supposed to be young when California goes." Well, I'll just say this. In the dream I had in the tent, he was young. I told him so. He was happy about that. You see, God can do whatever he wants to do. How many believe that you're going to get changed in the resurrection? Are you going to stay your old age? Well, see, you're not so old, but you're older. Don, Gary, sorry guys, but you're older, but you're not going to stay the same. You're going to be young again. So Billy Paul's not supposed to be young again? Huh? Didn't Brother Branham say that California would happen? That they would go under the ocean? Wasn't there a great earthquake? Now, listen, there are two earthquakes. There was a big earthquake, it says, when Jesus died on the cross. But there was a great earthquake when he raised from the dead. I think when we see that great earthquake, we're going to see the resurrection. And besides, Brother Brown said, "You'll be young when those sharks are swimming right here." Well, it's got to cave in first. The sharks have got to be swimming there, then he'll be a young man. Good grief. Well, Brother Brown missed it because he saw the bear in a vision. Visions never fail, he says. But that vision failed because he didn't get the brown bear. Listen, if Jesus could catch fish in his resurrected body, why could a vindicated prophet fulfill a vision? of a stupid bear in his resurrected body. Well, you know, I'm sorry, but Isaiah the prophet was wrong. He was false because it's been 600 years and there's no virgin that's conceived. Why don't you wait another 100 years? Because that's what they did. 700 years later, a virgin conceived. Well, Mary couldn't have been that one because she was married. Yeah, and the angel said, don't you cohabit with her until after the child was born. She was still a virgin when she conceived. And she was a virgin until at the birth. You see, we got to understand God hides in simplicity. It's time that we start getting simple. Sometimes I think retarded people, you know, the water babies, they're happy all the time, just happy. I think sometimes you might know a little bit too much to be happy. Why don't you get a little more simple in your life?
Right.
And get Christ-centered in your life. You'll be a lot more happier.
Sure.
Turn off the radios. Turn off all this politics and the deception and all this stuff that they're doing. It's just a man can say God bless you and they think he's an evil person. But their own party can come along and do evil things and kill people and everything else and they don't say nothing about it. If you want to keep your peace, just let that go. Let go and let God. Again, in the book of Luke, Matthew, Mark, we've read. Now we'll go to Luke. And others tempting him sought of him a sign from heaven. Tempting him. They weren't looking for a sign so that they could be changed. For their benefit, they were looking to test him, to tempt him. Their motives were wrong. And finally, in the book of John, 10:37, we hear Jesus say, if I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. But if I do, though you believe not me, believe the works, that you may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in him. Now notice, Jesus identified the sign of Messiah with God being with him. God's presence with the man. And yet, look at the response of the men in his day. And therefore they sought again to take him, but he escaped out of their hand. Show us a sign, show us a sign, show us a sign. And then when he tells them the thoughts and intents of their heart, they want to kill him. He's Beelzebub. And when they kept coming to Jesus and asking for another sign, Jesus said, John 14:8, Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it'll satisfy. And Jesus said unto him, have I been so long with you, and yet thou hast not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Believest thou that not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself. Not the miracles, but the words that I speak. Only the Father can speak what is in the hearts of men, and shows that it's the Father in me that's doing those things. But the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father in me, or else believe me for the very works' sake. Why do I believe William Branham? Because he came with the sign of Messiah. Not because he came with miracles. I saw as a Catholic boy many more miracles than most people in this message have physically seen in their lives. I saw people going to up in Montreal and going up those on their knees up what is 70 steps on their knees. I did it myself as a 12-year-old boy. I saw people get healed. I saw miracles in the Catholic Church. Because people believe in miracles in the Catholic Church. And that's not what he's talking about. He's talking about the sign of Messiah. The sign of knowing the very thoughts and intents of the heart. And yet, like I said before, many of us think we're practicing that. And we say, oh, I know what you're thinking. No, you don't. I know what your motive is. No, you don't. You're not God. So we as a people of God should know what we have seen in our last, that we have seen our last sign, which is the appearing of God in this hour. And it is to get us ready for the promised Son. In the following quotes and scripture references, we see the declaration of the doctrine of Christ's glorious appearing in this end time as stated by God's prophet messenger, William Branham, and as set forth and declared by the Apostle Paul in his epistles. Now, the end from end time evangelism, Brother Branham said, now we have already seen and are witnessing the appearing of the Lord. Now, remember, appearing and coming are two different words, to appear and then to come. Now is He appearing. He's already appeared in these last days, right here with us in the last few years. Now, it's a sign of His coming. He's appearing in His church in the form of the Holy Spirit, showing that it's Him, because people cannot do these things that you see the Holy Spirit doing. What was He doing? The sign of Messiah. So that's the appearing of the Lord. Now, remember, it spoke both places, appearing and coming. We see this appearing spoken of in Scripture, in Titus 2 and 13, looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of the great God. Not the Son of God. Of the great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. There's only one Savior, and that's God. Jesus could not save. He could not heal. He couldn't do anything but what the Father showed Him to do. For almost 2,000 years, men have looked upon the Scripture and have presumed that this glorious appearing of His second coming and His second coming were one and the same event. But in this last hour, God promised to restore and reveal all the mysteries and to reveal the thoughts of men's hearts. The sign of Messiah we're looking at today is what the Brother Branham rightly divided as the appearing, as distinguished from the second coming, and showed that it had to take place before the promised Son could come. In doing so, he established it as a doctrinal truth and allowed us to see that the appearing of the Lord is identified with the sign of Messiah, and it must come before the actual second coming of the Lord. He placed it with Elohim, doing appearing to Abraham and giving the sign of Messiah before the second, before the coming of the promised Son. From we would see Jesus, Brother Branham said, O God of heaven, forgive our unbelief. We know that that's the only sin that there is, the sin of unbelief. And may the Holy Spirit come so upon each person just now that they'll no more disbelieve because of the presence of Christ tonight, showing Himself alive after 2,000 years, the Word Himself standing here among us, in us, making His Word manifest. Well, how do we make it manifest? The sign of Messiah. From the voice of the sign said, and now look up. And in the presence of the Messiah, the Christ, the resurrected one, still living, still alive after 2,000 years, how can we be so numb in the spirit that ought to set this nation on fire? But does it? Does it even set the so-called message believers on fire? No, they're too caught up into self. From the Queen of the South, he says, the sign of the resurrection. Hallelujah. We have it. Amen. It's here. Jesus Christ is raised from the dead and is alive after 2,000 years, showing Himself among us. How did He do it? The sign of Messiah. So the sign of resurrection is the sign of Messiah. Titus 2 and 13. Who is it that Paul tells us will appear? Let's read it again. Looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of the great God. Who descended with a shout? The great God. The Lord Himself. There's only one Lord. Jesus was Lord. He was made Lord because God entered Him. The one Lord entered into Him, and now the vessel became Lord, a housing for the one Lord. It is the great God who is Savior that Paul is speaking of. And from the message from that time, he says, how many knows there's a difference between the appearing of Christ and the coming of Christ? It's two different words. Now is the appearing. The coming will soon be. He's appearing in the midst of us, doing the works that He once did in His church. How? He did it through a prophet by the sign of Messiah. Then in the next breath, he goes on to say, this is my ministry, see, to declare Him that He's here. How did He declare Him? Declaring is what? It's words. How did He declare Him? He said what the Father told Him to say. And that was to reveal the secrets of the heart. Brother Bram, look, as a man, he knew no more than you know as far as a person. Now, you might have had a greater measure of, let's say, discerning of spirits, because he had a great measure of the Word. But as for knowing the thoughts and the intentions of the heart, he said, I'm not Messiah. I have no clue. It's God. then why do we think that we know the thoughts and intentions of that heart?
So many words. You know, a person doesn't say the right word that you want them to say, and so you jump all over them.
I see it all the time. The Democrats, Republicans do it to each other, and so do Christians. Do it to each other.
It's time that you get refocused. It's time that you turn your eyes upon Jesus.
In closing, let me read from paragraph 111 again from Brother Ram's sermon, Desperation. And I want you to see how the sign of Messiah is the identifiable characteristic letting us know that God is present. His appearing, which is his epiphaneia, which means his revealing. Now the Greek word epiphaneia is used in the scripture as the words appearing, brightness, and shining forth. It means to come into view or to become visible or to show. It infers a coming before the public, and in the case of law, it has to do with the presenting oneself formally before the court as defendant, plaintiff, or as counsel. When it is used in reference to shining forth, it literally refers to an emanation of light in order to distinguish oneself to become clearly apparent as to one's nature. When it is used as brightness, it implies an illumination that causes the object to stand out in comparison to all others. And remember this, we're talking about the invisible God who is a great eternal spirit. So what is there that can make the great invisible spirit visible? Well, in John 1 and 18, it tells us, no man has seen God at any time, but the only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. He hath exegomai him. That means to declare or to tell. In other words, he used words. How? By discerning the thoughts and intents of the heart. So it was by words. And that's this unveiling took place. That's how we did. And that word, the declaration or unveiling of the mighty God, was through the sign of Messiah. Again, it wasn't the miracle or the healing, but the word manifested is in discerning the thoughts and intents of the heart, which is the sign of Messiah or the sign of Messiah's presence. Now, in closing, see how this ties into Brother Brown's statement in paragraph 111 from his sermon, Desperation. Notice, watch. He comes. He comes. What does it speak of? God's presence. He comes. He's already healed you. He brings his word, and he confirms it. He shows his presence. How? By confirming his word. Nobody can do these things outside of God. You know that. It's the sign of Messiah. And you know I'm no Messiah. So it's him. Now here he's proved everything to you. Now it ought to throw you into desperation. It ought to electrify this place and touch till it be like a match to a barrel of powder, certainly. And it ought to explode the faith and love and desperation and drive them people right into the kingdom of God to believe with all their heart. Do you believe now, every one of you? All right. Let's bow. Gracious Father, we want to thank you, Lord. I know this was a very cutting message today, very to the heart. But I believe it's your word, Father. I believe there's too much church playing, too much lackadaisical living, too much looking at others. As when Jesus was reproving Peter, when he asked him if he loved him, and Peter says, you know that I love you, and he said it three times, and Peter got smaller and smaller and smaller each time. Must have tore his heart out. And then like we all do, we're human. He heard John approaching, he turned around and said, well, what about him? Don't we all do the same? And Jesus, the words that he spoke, he said, what is that to thee, Peter? Follow thou me. What is it to you, Peter, if John lives until I return? Follow thou me. And yet, instead of taking the message of turn your eyes upon me, turn your eyes upon Jesus, John tells us a rumor went out that he would never die. Isn't that so much like the church today? Help us, Father, to completely, totally die to ourselves. Until we don't see husband or wife, we don't see children or parents, we don't see brother or sister,
that we see Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Let's just sing that song, Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus.
I think it's number 375 in the hymnal.
You ought to know it by heart because we sing it every communion service. Not because of tradition, but because that's what we need to do. I guess that's just as I must turn your eyes. Is that in the whole book?
Yeah,
it's
174.
Good year. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. O soul, are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness to see. But there's light for us. Look at the Savior and light more abundant and free.
O soul, are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness you see. There's a light for a look at the Savior and life more abundant and free. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful grace, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and